Welcome to Bimmercast number 15. It is February 6th, and we're going to be talking a lot about BMW performance parts, BMW performance versus the 335iS, new M1 Photoshop jobs, the Alpina B7, and pretty much everything else. So stay tuned. Okay, we're back this week with Michael, and of course this is Gabe. So once again, in the throes of winter, and once again, I have to admit I'm sick.
Gabe, you need to start resting, my friend.
I think it's true. I need to just find a corner and just go lay in the fetal position and not wake up for 2 to 3 days.
Or yeah, that's an option.
I mean, intravenous, like chicken noodle soup maybe. Straight into the veins.
Straight into the veins without the noodles. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, I think the noodles would probably cause some trouble. I'm not a doctor, but anyway.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. So it is the dead of winter, and a lot of us who are in the dead of winter have our nice cars put away, or we don't drive them as much, or we're just really angry because we're looking at them every day and they're dirty. But I will say, there's that moment in winter where there's a couple nice days, maybe. And again, I'm in Chicago, so everybody in Southern California, I understand that you don't understand what I'm talking about. But there's that moment where it's like maybe 35, or maybe it gets up into like, you know, almost 40, and it's sunny for 2 days, and you go out and wash your car. And you do, you know, whatever you do. I mean, I typically just take it to a bay and do it myself. But it's this glorious moment where you see your car and you remember that it actually looks really nice clean.
You mean your black car no longer looks white?
Yeah, or my white car no longer looks brown.
Right.
So I've had that moment for, I guess, a couple of days with both my cars. And I have to say, it's just fantastic. And the 5 Series that I have, the white Alpine White 5 35iS, it's just fantastic in white when it's totally clean. But that leads me to my other problem. So I washed it and put it away, and I didn't drive it for 2 weeks. Pop in, ready to go. I've got like an hour drive ahead of me. I wanted to take the classic car. Dead as a doornail. Doesn't even turn over. Like nothing. Nothing at all. So I'm thinking, okay, well, let me just jump it really quick. Nothing. I mean, wouldn't even draw power through the battery. So it's interesting because, you know, when you buy a secondhand car, you really don't know. There's a history to these cars. And some of it's straightforward. Some of it's good. Some of it's scary. And some of it is just complex. And one of the things that I found about this 535iS I own, which I do love, is that somewhere along the lines, the battery has been moved.
Uh-oh.
And it typically resides, I believe, under the seat of the E28. I may be wrong. That's the one place I haven't looked yet. But I'm pretty sure it's under the seat or in the trunk, and I know it's not in the trunk. So where it lies right now is the front left little corner of the engine bay, which is not where you'd want it for any reason in terms of performance, because the battery's heavy and you just don't want it there. And granted, I'm not driving this thing on the track. I mean, this is a classic car in my mind. Well, right, that's true. At some point it may go down that road. So I'm just I'm just really baffled by, you know, this battery. I mean, it's this weird size, and you know, what happened? And the best I can figure out is, you know, maybe along the way somewhere, you know, when somebody in the late 90s put the alarm system in, they decided, I really don't want to run all this cord throughout the car. Let's just move the battery up front. And that's where it lies now. And it works well. I mean, it's a really professionally installed, no question about it. But it's just kind of funny. You buy a used car, and there's some weird things that you find after a couple months of ownership sometimes.
quirks. We all have quirks, and some of these used cars, definitely.
Mm-hmm. No question about that. But anyway, I did want to talk about...
multimeter's coming out, and you can do some multimeter figuring out where the draw is on that thing.
Yeah, I know. Well, yeah, there's some stuff on that car that is drawing something, and I need to get it out. But so a couple things came out over this past week, and one thing in particular that caught my attention was a little blurb in an interview we posted on Paperfile about the M3 with a competition package, which is going to be available in the U.S. And we knew a lot about the car already in terms of it's going to have EDC that's specially programmed, using air quotes there, and a little bit different of electronics controlling the dynamic drive, or what exactly it is. I'm not 100% sure, but I think the interesting thing is those gorgeous black 19-inch wheels, those motorsport wheels that are on the GTS, are going to be silver on the competition package.
Yeah, they're going to be silver.
And it's pretty much identical. Those wheels are pretty much identical to the CSL wheels, the wheels that were on the old competition package.
Yeah, I think they're kind of calling them like CSL next generation, CSL 2s or something along those lines. They're basically just scaled up versions of the old wheels from what it looks like.
I don't even see the difference, though. I mean, aren't they the same size? I mean, they're 19s. The old ones were 19s. Aren't they the same width as well?
I think these are wider.
Oh.
I think these are wider, yeah. These are some pretty wide wheels on this thing.
Well, it is too bad. I was looking forward to this idea of black wheels with a white car, just being able to spot them pretty easily. But even still, I think it's for $2,500, and that was the other news. It's really not a bad package.
No, it's not bad at all. I mean, considering it's coming with the damping control, and you're getting some springs, new springs, 10 millimeters lower, and a couple other tweaks, but you still have to pay the pay for the iDrive system to get the M dynamic mode.
Yeah, and I think that's one of those. At least in my mind, I don't own the car, you do, but in my mind, it's a necessity.
Yeah, no, it's definitely nice to be able to program and map in your throttle response if you want it in totally aggressive mode, or if you want to be able to adjust your steering boost at the same time. It's pretty nice.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the coolest things I like. I honestly just use the button for passing, so I don't have to move my foot. I just hit the button and done.
One of the things about that button that I love so much is that just the car feels like it just sort of tenses up a little bit.
Yeah, it does.
Absolutely. And it's like an animal. It's sort of just kind of like a cat just sort of tenses up right before it needs to run off or something.
Yeah, and the other fun part of it is if I'm on the highway or whatever and I have somebody in the car that hasn't been in the car before, I usually keep it in comfort, and then I'll hit the button and I'll be like, you feel the difference in just the suspension? Like the passenger can feel
how
big of a difference it really is. It's really actually quite amazing how fast that system can tense the thing up.
Yeah, definitely. So elsewhere in the news, what do you think about this M1? I mean, we know we've heard about it for a while. We're seeing some new Photoshop or photo chop, if you will, renderings of the thing. It's interesting to me because BMW is producing this car in not just the second half of the life cycle of the 1 Series, but I mean on the last year or two. I mean, are they going to get their money out of this?
Well, I think what they're trying to do is make it a last hurrah for the coupe, because the coupe's going to be here. I think we figured 2013 or something like that.
Uh-huh.
It'll be the last model year of the coupe. So I think they're also trying to use some parts that they've already have and keep development costs low while at the same time producing a great product. But I think a lot of these chops are probably getting closer to what it will look like. You know, a lot of the aggressiveness, I think, is going to come from the X5 and the X6M. How that front is very edgy and sharp rather than smooth and more bulbous like the M3 is. And I have a feeling that the M5 will also replicate that more edgy, hard line look.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think you're going to start to see that design language very slowly sort of build on what we see out of the next M5. I think the next M5 is really where I think the M generation, I'm sorry, the M designers are going to take it to the next generation, so to speak.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. I mean, speaking of the next generation and future vehicles, we have the X5 refresh leaked already.
Yeah,
and that was like unclimatic.
Yeah, I know. It's the I call it the least anticipated update of 2010 because, you know, the X5 is a car that it isn't really bought by enthusiasts that often. If it is, you know, it's like a replenishment vehicle. You know, it's maybe it's for the wife, or even if it's for you, it's just like, I just need the other, you know, I just need a new X5. You know, it's my lease is over. It's been 3 years. I need a new one. I'll get the brown one this time. You know, like I just don't see people getting that excited about the thing. Now, I will say that it does look good. I see a little of that X1 front sort of like underbite that we see in that car. I think the current X5 is actually a really good looking car. And I have no question that this will actually be a little bit nicer. One thing that's interesting to me, though, the fog lights, and you mentioned this, Michael, and I've always had a problem with this, as it has been on all X5s, they are too high to be fog lights.
Yeah, they're so high, it's completely functionless, in my opinion. I mean, yeah. It's just, you're kind of, why not just keep the low beams on? I mean, what do we got, four or five inch difference in height?
Yeah, but I mean, you know, that said, who really uses fog lights for fog anymore?
Maybe you and I. Unless you're over in the UK. We don't see fog very much anymore here.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's absolutely true. But, it's a nice change, and it's certainly very derivative of what we saw with the X6. So, not too much.
Yeah, very comparable. Very comparable.
One of the things, though, that was really, I think, one of the bigger stories of the week on Bimmer File was the 335 first drive, the performance with all the performance goodies. And we've talked about the 1 Series, and we've even talked about the 335 over the past year. But this is the first time that you've driven the car with the engine kit. And I'm really anxious to hear more about it. Obviously, I read the review, and it was fantastic. But what was it like, actually, behind the wheel with everything on this car?
Well, it changes the car completely compared to a base 335i. 335i with the sport package is a fine car. It really, you know, it does what it's got to do, and it's very sporty. But the BMW Performance parts added on there just totally changes it. The springs and the suspension are phenomenal. They really are. The harder you push the car, it's like the harder it pushes back at you. It's really quite eye-opening how little body roll there is, and it just almost squats down and takes it, and it's very predictable too. It's not, you know, kind of like soft and then gets progressively harder. It's very consistent through the whole travel range, which is really nice. And from the engine kit, you do feel that. You definitely do. It has more torque. You can feel it a little bit, and, you know, as I mentioned there in the butt dyno, it feels like it's you got a motor from the factory that had a little more oomph to it. But the biggest improvement I felt from the kit was actually in the exhaust note. It sounded more throaty than without the kit. Because I've experienced this car before without the kit last summer. And so with the kit and the exhaust, the thing rumbles really nice. It's a really great product. Everything on that car is functional, from the aero to the wheels to, you know, everything minus, I'd say, the carbon fiber dash trim, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And so this is what is interesting to me. So starting with the wheels, am I right in saying those are the wheels on the 335iS?
There's 313 is the order, you know, the style code. So those are what's on the IS as well as style 313.
So is the only difference the BMW Performance isn't etched into the sidewall?
I believe so.
Okay. So that's interesting to me. So as a starter, that is interesting. Now, the kit, the aero kit, is indeed different. Is that correct?
The Aero Kit is, well, this is from the, we, this review is based on the sedan. BMW Performance hadn't released a kit for the coupe or the convertible as of yet. So the coupe or convertible kit could very well be exactly what you're seeing on that IS.
All right.
Minus the carbon splitters.
So it's very, very similar then with, yeah, without that.
Yeah.
And so I guess what I'm getting at is, you know, what is the difference between this and the 335 IS? I mean, let's just say you get it on the coupe, for instance. Because obviously you can't buy the 335 IS in sedan form. So that is the difference here. So you can actually get this equivalent power and performance in sedan mode only through the aftermarket BMW Performance series of parts. But what's the difference with, you know, a coupe-to-coupe comparison, so to speak?
Sure. The IS is going to offer the overboost, whereas the BMW Performance kit will not. And our good friends at BMW North America researched this for us, and we've come to learn that the difference between the IS and the BMW Performance engine kit numbers actually are based on a different flywheel. The 335 IS has a different flywheel and can handle that torque with the manual transmission.
So that's the difference. So basically, because of the flywheel change, it's able to handle, what's the overboost on the 335 IS?
370.
370 foot-pound of torque. So that is identical to what the Z4 35 IS has.
I believe so.
And it's interesting because that Z4 35 IS has more horsepower.
Yes, and the reason for the more horsepower on the Z4 is it actually has more air circulating through the front of it, and they're able to get the cooling more, so they're able to run a little bit more boost through that.
Okay. That's interesting. Well, that demystifies a little bit of what I was personally curious about, but yeah, getting back to the idea of, well, you know, buying this car as opposed to the 335 IS.
I mean, personally, I like the ability to customize and pick and choose what you want to add, what you don't want to add, rather than you just get this prepackaged product. That being said, I own an M3, and that's a prepackaged, you know, product. The big difference, I think, with the BMW Performance car is the suspension being one. The IS does not come with the BMW Performance suspension. It comes with the standard sport suspension. And the BMW Performance suspension is significantly stiffer.
It's more aggressive, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah. It's 34% stiffer than the factory sport suspension, mm-hmm. which that's huge. I mean, it's a third stiffer.
How do you equate it to the M3? Because one of the things I've always enjoyed about the M3, the current M3, with the electronic damping is that there's really a nice range. I mean, you go from comfort to sport plus, and there's a fantastic range in what you can do with that car.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, and that's because you can adjust it, and it's variable. With the BMW Performance kit in there, I mean, it definitely is going to ride a bit harsher. It's not by any means 7 Series smooth, but at the same time, it's not bone jarring. I remember when I had I had an Audi many years ago, and we had a sport kit in that, and it was ridiculous. You couldn't drive it because it was so over the top stiff. I mean, you had no suspension give whatsoever. And the BMW Performance suspension is a happy medium, I'd say. You know, it's fine for driving on the road, driving on the highway, potholes, things like that. It's not going to totally kill you, but at the same time, you can really push it, and that's where it really shines.
It's interesting to me. The sort of gold standard of non-electronic damping suspensions, in my mind, is the ZHP. I really firmly believe that is the best compromise I've ever personally driven in a BMW. You know, in terms of comfort and all that performance, it's fantastic to drive every day, but it is decidedly more, you know, decidedly stiffer than the standard car. And I don't know what all went into that I do to some degree, but, there's a lot of little things that I think that went into that to give it that feel.
Yeah, and I think the only downfall, to be honest with you, with these suspensions is the run flats. But,
yeah,
you know, as I mentioned, if you take those run flats off of those wheels, throw some regular tires on there, throw an immobility kit in the trunk, and now you're talking perfect.
Well, and that's my question, because that's the big difference. That E46 ZHP feels just fantastic, especially with, you know, a set of Bridgestone RE01s or something like that on it. How does this thing feel in comparison? I mean, you know, you've got sort of that brittle feel with the run flats, but getting beyond that, does it feel lively and you know, really fun? Or is it like, you know, John Cooper Works mini suspension,
no.
like
yeah,
harsh
no.
and...
Oh, no. No, it rides much smoother than my Cooper S did with the I had the original sport suspension, so much smoother than that. But it's fun, and it's not overly. I think you probably in the back you're going to get a little bit rougher ride than you would in the front seats, just because of the way the spring travel is set. But I did not ride in the back, so I'm not really sure. But otherwise, I mean, the car drives fine, and we drove around in Jersey, and Jersey's roads are, as everyone in Jersey knows, really bad.
Yeah, that sounds like Michigan roads in the Midwest.
Yeah, Michigan roads. Snowing, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's true. But even dead of summer, I'll never forget driving to Holland, Michigan from Chicago in a mini, actually, and coming back with two bent rims. And I drove the highway the whole way.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just from pummeling on the highway. So not good.
No, and the other... The only other, you know, thing is BMW Performance for the 335i will not be offering a brake kit. So stock brakes are it for that.
It's interesting. So they've clearly decided that there's just not a market there.
Yeah, surprising. I don't know if it has to do with a market or it has to do with some DOT safety thing that they have to do, and it costs exponential. So
why did they basically... I feel like they just painted the 1 Series brake caliper yellow, and they called that a new kit for the 1 Series.
That was originally, yeah, that's true. And then what that was originally was marketed for the 128, so you could step your brakes up to the 135.
Okay.
And then BMW Performance also offers a brake kit, though, for like the 325 to bring it up to the 330 brakes.
Okay, that makes sense. And getting at the prices, I mean, they've come down now, and that's one thing that we reported this week. But they're pretty good. The brakes, you know, the prices have come down, but they're still a little pricey. I'm not sure. I'm assuming that if it's, you know, all four corners, it's not as bad, but it's certainly not cheap. Some of the other prices though aren't too bad.
Yeah, I think it's relative too. You know, like, I think people want to see BMW Performance parts come down to be where, you know, other companies are. But at the same time, they really have. If you think about how much a dining kit or a Turner kit or any of the, you know, those high-end tuners that actually put the money into R&D and testing their product substantially, that, you know, I think the BMW Performance products are much better off than they were.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think one, my favorite example, you know, the short shift kit for one is now $80 less, essentially. It went from almost $300 to around $200 for the E46. I'm just looking for looking at the E46 right now. The E46, the air intake went from over $1,000 to $700.
Yeah, it's a third off. I mean,
yeah,
it's pretty substantial. And you know, I think they're also coming out with not such high-end items. You know, like the original steering wheel was fantastic, the one with all the gauges and things like that, which is awesome for track days. But it was high priced because of the electronics and, you know, the development cost of that product. And now they have this new Alcantara flat bottom wheel, which is gorgeous.
Yeah, it looks fantastic. But one of the things that still blows my mind is the cost for the exhaust system on the 335. The sedan's exhaust system the old MSRP was $2,400.
Yeah.
I mean, my God, I remember vividly buying an exhaust for my Mini new for $400 at the time. It's like 7 years ago. It's gone down, by the way, to 2,000.
Yeah, it's quite substantial, but you have a few mufflers in there, mid pipes. I think it's all the way cat back, and it's all stainless.
Yeah,
double rolled, I think, actually too. So
yeah, and I have no doubts that it is probably the single best exhaust system in terms of quality out there, or one of the best. I know there's a lot of good ones out there, but yeah, it's I think it's really interesting to see these prices come down. There were complaints. We talked about that. In fact, we complained about it. And yeah, clearly, you know, BMW, they're not going to just stick their head in the sand and forget about everything else. They've reacted, and I think they've done it positively.
They've done a fantastic job. And I'm looking forward to seeing what else the future brings from BMW Performance for other cars, such as the M3 and the coupes. So that should be interesting.
Absolutely. Yeah, the just a couple other things. I think notably the B7, the Alpina B7 is going to be introduced in Chicago in just about a week, actually a little less than a week. It's going to be the U.S. debut of the car, and I'm going to get a chance to talk with a few of the engineers and folks who actually made it happen. So going to be really cool to get some of the insight there. Beyond that, you know, everything is sort of quieted down, waiting for Geneva. I'm sorry, not Geneva, but yeah, it is Geneva.
Yeah, Geneva. Course. Yeah, everything is quieted down a bit. I was lucky enough to spend some time the other day looking at the new 5 Series, the F10, in person, and it is a marriage between the E90 LCI and the 7 Series F01.
So what do you think about some of these reviews that are coming in that are just calling it bland?
I haven't driven it, so I can't comment on the drive. But
not even, yeah, just design-wise.
From a design perspective, I find that hard to believe. If you see the car in real life, it has so many subtle accents and things that you just really can't pick up in photos. So I don't know if people are just judging the car by looks in the photos, because the front end, like the hood alone, to me is a work of art. Just the sculpting in the hood and how it refracts. And it just never looks the same if you look at it. You can't find a spot on the thing that make it look the same twice.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just always moving, and it's really quite amazing what they've done with the front end on that. And it's really neat to feel, you know, the doors are all aluminum skin, the hood's aluminum, and things like that. But it's amazing to feel how the doors still feel heavy, even though they are significantly lighter than in the past. Yeah, which was really neat. And then the trunk is enormous, which really was surprising, because just the lines of the car, you wouldn't think that the trunk had that much space in. It's gargantuan.
Well, next up, of course, I mean, there's a lot of cars, but I mean, I think a lot of people are really interested to see what they do with the 3 Series.
Oh, the next generation 3?
The F30. That's going to be, I mean, that's going to be a big car for BMW, clearly, and they have to play it somewhat safe, but at the same time, you're starting to see some folks saying, well, you know, we kind of, they're not saying it, but I feel like they're saying, you know, we kind of like BMW being a little adventurous when it comes to design.
I think we'll start seeing some more adventurous designs in cars that aren't so mass marketed. You know, like the Z4 is very aggressive, the current Z4. Yeah. So I see the next generation 6 Series, which, you know, floats around by, it's a year after the 5 Series, because they kind of share a lot of components. So we'll see that starting to float around a bit, I think, doing testing and seeing it wearing the famous Paisley camouflage. But I have a feeling that's going to be much more aggressive than these last few cars that we've seen. But the interesting part I find is, with just reading reviews, I found this LA Times one I found interesting. It's just how they say the car's very bland to drive, which to me, I'm hoping is not the case, because the 5 Series always was the standout in that class, that it actually was enjoyable to drive compared to the competition. And a lot of that negative view is from the electronic power steering. And from experiences I've had, the latest generation of that with the newer algorithms felt fantastic to me, considering what it is. But I don't know. I'm not sure. until we get some seat time in that.
Yeah, so. Yeah. That's well, very excited to get behind the wheel of that. We've got a couple of reviews coming up as well. I'm going to be driving the GT, the 550 GT. I know you've already driven it, so it'd be good to get a second opinion on that. X5M, but it'll be good to have that as well. Actually, the 550 GT is going to be our, let's see, kind of not really the tow vehicle, but our support car for our 24 Hours of Le Mans first race of the year this April. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays, you know, with all that. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Fun. Yeah, should be kind of fun. So
still racing the MR2?
Well, until it dies.
Not a bad deal.
Not a bad deal at all. The only problem is if it dies, we have to get that damn roll cage out because it costs four times more than the car.
Oh, yeah. The roll cages are phenomenal in cost.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, so we should definitely talk a little bit more about that coming up. And, of course, we'll be back here in a week or so with more news. Specifically, I'll be back from the Chicago Auto Show, having just talked to the guys from Alpina and a lot of folks from BMW. So, yeah. Until then, this is Gabe. Cheers.
Michael, Rose.